Houston. As some of you may not know her, but I want to introduce my better half. You can go ahead and amen if you'd like. Okay, I saw some of you twitching. We've been doing this at this church at the end of this month for 36 years. We've been serving together for almost 41 years. Theme of our service, and we want to proclaim that theme this morning, as for me and my house. You all say that too. As for you, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, I want you to get your book out, and we'll do that again in just a moment. And I want my wife to help me. That's why I have her up here. We're going to read verse 14 together. I'm going to read verse 13. Then, church, I want you to get your book out and go to Joshua 24 and 13 and 14. I'll give you a second to get there. And verse 14, as my wife and I read, I like for all you to read together with us. It's the theme of today, and I want to give you the text of the message today. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, but the real important thing is how in the world, how do we achieve such a lofty priority? Now, we say it all the time, but how do we achieve it is what I'm preaching on today. So are you there in your book? Amen? I'll read verse 13. And let me make sure I'm there. Yeah. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Make sure I'm right here. Yeah, I'm right. And you dwell in them of the vineyards and olive yards, which ye planted, not to eat, not to do ye eat. Now let's read together this verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Go on with me now. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Now, us together. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. And I do want to, this is my sweetie. I want to tell those that are screaming today, this is my sweetie. She's a great example of this passage. She's a better Christian than I am. I'm glad God united us together for a purpose. And we're here just to represent the church. And those that's streaming and those that's going to listen on TV this week, I just want to tell you it's worth serving God.
Amen.
Thank you, honey. If you have your Bibles, let's look at that verse. That's a tremendous verse. And it's real easy to say it, okay? It's not difficult to say. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That's a catchy statement. That's a good statement. But saying it and living it are two different things. I don't only want to proclaim it behind this pulpit with my wife this morning, but I want my life to proclaim it every day, and I want to know how to achieve this priority in my life. Whether you're saved or lost today, you ought to want to have a home that is serving God, that has potential for God, that is affecting this society for God, a home that is protected, a home that has provision, a home that would glorify God when the Lord comes. That's what I want in my life.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, it's not something you could just snap your finger. If I asked you today, and I will not ask you, how many of you are totally 100% committed to that and are practicing that? I wonder how many could honestly raise your hand. I'm going to give you five things you must do to accomplish that very thing this morning. How many of you right now, you'd like to see your home be what the Bible says? Come on, raise your hand. Wouldn't you? Sure you would. Number one, if I'm going to have the home that I should have, Jerry, if you're going to raise that young girl and your girls the way you should, you've got to have a recipe. Right here's the recipe. As for me and my house, I serve the Lord, but we've got to learn how to achieve it. Five things. Look at the verse 15 again. First of all, it says, choose you here this day. Number one, write this down, put it in your notes. If you're going to have the home that will glorify God and achieve this priority, you must make a decision. You'll never do it without a decision. That decision includes two factors. Number one, a decision, first of all, to be saved. Amen? I know some of the Calvinists say, well, you can't choose. Let me tell that crowd, you're preaching heresy. You're not right. And God didn't choose somebody to be saved and somebody to be lost. God wants whosoever will to be saved. And I want you to know, being dead in sin doesn't mean you're a corpse. Being dead in sin means you're separated from God. Adam was separated from God, yet he heard the voice of God. Adam was separated from God and dead in his sin, and he responded to God. This crowd that says sinners can't respond are absolutely teaching a false doctrine. You under my voice, if you're unsaved today, you must make a decision. And number one, you must decide that Jesus is going to be your Savior. And by the way, that happens when you get convicted by the Holy Ghost of God. I do not believe in easy believism. I believe you've got to be convicted of the Holy Ghost. I believe you ought to repent and trust Christ. That's not preached much today. But if you're going to be saved, you repent. And at the same time, you'll be having faith. They're synonymous. You can't repent without faith, and you can't have faith without repentance. I remember, 41 years ago, this old boy was saved by the grace of God. But I will tell you what, I made a decision that night. One that wasn't haphazard, one that wasn't emotional only, but one that was based on the fact that was a sinner, based on the fact that I was lost, based on the fact that I was going to hell. And I trusted Christ and He saved me. If you're here today, you can do that also. But also, I want to tell you this. She didn't know it. But also, I done chose who I was going to marry. We started dating. Then we got married a year later. And during our dating time, we decided that we were saved and we're going to make a decision to serve God together for the rest of our lives. Amen. We'll be married 41 years this coming February. So far we've fulfilled that commitment. And by the grace of God, we intend on keeping it until Jesus comes, which I believe just around the corner. But ladies and gentlemen, there will be no serving God. There will be no your house serving God unless you make a decision to choose that. Amen. Number two, choose to serve the Lord. There's got to be a dedication. I want to tell you what, you can't just decide. You've got to make a commitment, a dedication, that the rest of your life, that's what you're going to do. And by the way, that's tough today. I know families, you're in a busy schedule. Your life is, hurry up and then one day you get buried. Hurry, worry, and bury. You know what I'm talking about. But I want to tell you what, look at me. If you accomplish anything in your life, and you accomplish a lot, and you don't accomplish what I'm ready to say right now, you've really not accomplished the goal. And that is, as for me and my house, I'll serve the Lord. And that takes a dedication. You cannot just You've got to commit yourself. Yes, God, I will do that. Yes, God, I'm dedicating my children. Yes, God, and by the way, it's not always a public dedication. It can be a private dedication, but you must get your children and get them around you and say, these children are God's. These are not the devil's. They are not somebody else's. They're mine, and I'm going to serve God, and I'm going to dedicate myself for God. Are y'all with me? Number three. And there's got to be a determination. To see, there's a monkey wrench that gets in here. Huh? He said, and not serve the gods of your fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, and I will say this with humility. And I will say this, realizing I've not always fulfilled this passage. Realizing I haven't always done exactly what I should in this area. But there's some gods you've got to avoid. The God of materialism. Thank God if you're blessed financially. But I want to tell you what, your first fruits belong to God. I will tell you what, you need to teach your children your first fruits come from God. Amen. Kind of materialism. Materialism like this. If you see another couple get something, you've got to have it. What is wrong with you, knucklehead? You don't have to have it to be happy. Pardon me, Brother Allen. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. Listen to me. There's so many people. It seems like that peer pressure of keeping up with somebody else. I've got to dress a certain way. I've got to go to certain stores or I won't be accepted. Hold it. It don't matter if nobody accepts you. I remember when me and that woman come here, we couldn't afford coming. We came anyway. She went to, what is it over there? You know, Goodwill. She got my coach at Goodwill. She got the kids' dresses, Julie's dress at Goodwill. She got James' and stuff. We didn't afford that kind of stuff. We could not do it. But I tell you what, we couldn't afford. We could not afford not serving God. Amen. You've got to determine materialism, secularism, pluralism. I'm going to look you right in your face today. Every religion's not right.
Amen.
I do not believe in pluralism. I believe there's one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This pluralism stuff makes me sick. Says that we're all the children of God. If you're lost today, you're not a child of God. You're a child of the devil. And if you're backslidden, you're acting like one. Then humanism. This bothers me. I see it in homes all the time. You look at me. I don't care if it's parents, grandparents, or anybody else. If they tell you anything than a Bible way to raise your children, don't you listen. You said, I'm not supposed to disobey my parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. But there's some parents that don't follow God. There's some parents after the kids are raised and they still are not following God and they're humanistic. Oh, you can work your problem out this way, this way, this way. A, B, C, D. It's not like that. I'll tell you how you work your way is dedicate yourself to God and depend on God to bless you and help you and help your family glorify Him. Now, I was going to say this one. Another little God, skepticism. Oh, I know, I've had this. I'll tell you the biggest battle I have. You want to hear my battle? It's to preach like I'm preaching this morning, but not get 100% support by families when they go home. Oh, no. Here's what they say. There's some of them go at lunch today and say this very thing. Well, Preacher Smith has raised his kids, but he hasn't been perfect. Oh, wait a minute, I think you confused this message. I didn't say this is John Smith's recipe. I said this was God's recipe. And I haven't been perfect. Dear God, there's some things I'd take back today if I could. But ladies and gentlemen, my perfection isn't the point today. The point is God's got a recipe. And we can't have this skepticism. Oh, the Bible's old fashioned. It's okay for my daughter and my son to have another Bible other than the King James. Yeah, well, you know the kids at school have those. If your child's going to be right with God, they must be right where it comes to the Bible. Am I preaching? There's got to be a determination. I know people are skeptical. I'm preaching right now and say, it's impossible to do what you're saying. No, it's not impossible. It may be impossible to achieve perfection, but it's not impossible to follow God's principles from the Word of God. Somebody help me right there. And whether I have always fulfilled them or you always have fulfilled them, it really don't make anything. What really makes anything, they're there. Our children need to know them. Our families need to know. It's not too late. Amen. Number four. This might be the most important point. There's got to be a discipline. A discipline. Now, I'm going to tell you, here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you sitting down, mom, dad, you have a daily devotional, you have a personal devotional, you have a devotional with your children. You say, well, have you always been perfect yet? No, I'm not. We get so busy in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. This takes discipline to read the Bible every day. It takes discipline to pray with your kids every day. It takes discipline to serve God. It's not something you just do and automatically do. Jared, if you don't do it every day and discipline yourself every day, you won't be the father for Abigail and Emily that you should be. It won't happen. But if you discipline yourself, it can be achieved. And he said, whoa. Boy, I'm on something here. Discipline on myself sometimes means, and you know, I've seen this, and I really don't want to be negative, but I've seen parents jealous of their kids. Isn't that dumb? I've seen kids jealous of each other. Hey, by the way, there's no favorites. Both of my kids think the other one are the favorites. I'm glad they think it like that. That means I'm pretty well there because they're both my favorites. You hear me out? It takes discipline every day saying, this is the right thing to do. Don't forget to pray today, honey. Don't forget to put your Bible in your pocketbook when you go to school. All right, don't forget your Bible to take it to school. They can't keep you from that. I'm right, ain't I? That can't happen. Then lastly, and I really believe this will happen, we'll have a demonstration. It's not enough for Miss Smith and I to have a decision, have a dedication, a determination, a discipline, but there's got to be a demonstration. By the way, I told you my wife's the best Christian in my home. She taught my children about dress. Because I personally think she's one of the classiest people in the world. And if you have objection to that, you ought to with your own wife. But I want to tell you something. Somebody's got to stand up today and say, we're going to try to do this. By the grace of God, we're going to do this. I mean, God, by His will and His grace, I want my family to serve God. And that doesn't mean your kids are all preachers. That doesn't mean they do the same things. It just means you're committed to serve. If they become a doctor, hallelujah, a lawyer, or a plumber, it does not matter as long as they serve the Lord. Bow your head with me. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. I wonder how many right now say, Preacher Smith, I know that I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. I made a decision. I accepted Christ as my Savior. If you know, raise your hand. Hold them up high. If you don't know, don't raise them. Hold them up high. Amen. Is there someone in the congregation, husband or wife, or a young person that say, I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I need to make that decision. I need to make that commitment. I want you to pray for me. Slip up your hand. Just slip it up. I'm not saved, preacher, but I need a home that's serving God. I see that hand back there, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Let me put it down. Somebody else say, Preacher Smith, I want to be saved. I don't want to be left behind. I'm unsaved, but I want to make a decision for Christ. Just slip your hand up. Somebody else.